Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the shooting bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is...
Alrighty, I have made it back. I'm safe and sound. Kelly and I back from the People's Republic. Just walked in the door. We made it back here about 20 minutes ago or something like that. So we're struggling to get our feet under us here and get going. But we made it. So welcome to the shooting bench. It's Monday, the 20th of October. I hope y'all had a good weekend. Our weekend was not so good. We had to go out to California. Most of you know we went out there, and my Amy's mother has gone to see her Heavenly Father. So it wasn't really a happy weekend. I'm happy for her. She's not in pain. She's not hurting and struggling anymore. The family is, they're all dealing with it in different ways. So, but anyway, I had to turn around and come back. Wish I could be there with Amy she's going to be there another week, so you won't be hearing anything from her for a while. But anyway, here we are. And you guys, thanks Pumpkin Cat, T-Dog, all of you, I appreciate that. I had a good time Friday night with our Liberty Lounge. It was a good show, I think. We had a lot of fun. And I've got some other stuff lined up for this coming Friday. Some stuff that I'm sure some of you haven't heard for many, many years, if at all. We've got a disaster preparedness seminar coming up in Vernon, Arizona, believe it or not, coming up on the 25th, next Saturday. We've got somewhere in the vicinity of 30 people already confirmed for that, so that'll be good. And then we'll carry on with getting our other classes squared away. We're looking at trying to get one, or some other people are looking at trying to get one together up in Stockton, Utah again. And another one, we're trying for two different classes with any luck on the same weekend. If not, we'll just have to go up there twice. But that would be up in San Juan County, New Mexico. So if any of you want to try to get something together in your area, give us a holler, and I'll tell you what the requirements are and what happens. When you do all my footwork for me there, you get a free class, regardless of how much the class costs. If you get a three-day handgun class or something, that's $950 you can save yourself. So if you want to work on something like that. Now, it's got to be kind of within reason. It's going to take a lot of people before I'll go anywhere, east of the Mississippi. That's a lot of travel, a lot of fuel, and I just, quite frankly, don't really want to be that far away from home right now with everything going on. I'd kind of like to stick to the western states here. Actually, even the southwestern states would even be better. But we'll work it out the best we can. Mountain Shooter, Queso, thank you. Glad to see you guys in here tonight. Let me see who all we got. Kind of skinny looking in the chat room there. I guess it's my own fault for not showing up here as much as I should have. We've got Queso, Concretin, Detinker, Doc, Hopper, Mini, Mountain Shooter, Pumpkin Cat, T-Dog, couple of Anonymous, couple more bouncing in and out there. So we'll just carry on like we were talking to the world, because I know we are. Most of our listeners come actually from the podcast anyway, from iTunes and from Podbean. So for those of you that are able to get in here live with me in the chat room, I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. And let me see what is... Hang on just a minute. Oh, yep. Got people emailing me right now asking about the national report. Let's dive right in here with a few things that's going on in Facebook right now. Number one, every time you see something, and I hope all of you will listen to this, because I know that everybody is they mean well, they're trying to give us some good information, and they see this and they bounce it out there on Facebook, emails all over the place. Well, look. If it's not from somebody that you recognize as a reputable source, please do some research. There are several satire sites out there that are... I don't even know what the hell their purpose in life is. I don't know why it is that they get on there. They talk trash. It's garbage. And they just stir up trouble, and it's bad enough. We have enough real, verifiable problems out there to worry about without all this crap. So if you get anything from the nationalreport.net, It's BS. It's satire. AmericanNews.com. Don't post it. Don't read it. Don't pay any attention to it. It's not even comical. It's not even entertainment. It wastes time. It wastes bandwidth. It wastes everything. It just, there's no point in messing with it. Of course, most of you know The Onion, Duffel Blog. You know, there's probably 20 sites out there that are devoted to wasting your time and stirring the pot when they got no business talking about anything. They have no integrity at all. There's just a they're just troublemakers as far as I'm concerned. You know, there was a time when satire was comical. You know, when you were around election time and you get you find a satire site that says Ronald Reagan seen on the French Riviera in a bikini with whatever. And people look at that and then they read it, oh, that's not real. Ha ha ha. Well, you know, it's over. It's fine for that kind of stuff. But not for what we're in right now. You're making things worse. You're making it worse for those that belong to those sites, those that own those sites. They're making it worse by doing it. You're making it worse by posting it. Leave it alone. When you see them, just bypass them. Don't even look at it to see if it's true. If it's true, you'll see it on 100 other reputable sites real soon. But those are not. Another thing that has come up here just in the last few days is about the 7-year-old girl that was where the SWAT team had the wrong address, shot the little girl in the head and killed her, 7 years old. That's not BS, but they're posting it as a new news article. It's not. It's 4 years old. It's 4.5 years old. I talked about that back before Just Measures Radio even started. I talked about that in the last network. The day that it happened. And what they're seeing now is the fact that the jackbooted thug, the low-life punk that shot her, is getting off scot-free. It's been 4 years, but after all the legal stuff, he is getting off. Okay, people are seeing that and posting that as a news story. It is not a news story. It's old, old story. But and it's okay when you post old stories. Usually, once in a while you post something that's older. That's entertainment type thing. Well, that's okay. Entertainment never grows old. It's okay to post old stuff like that. But when you post something that's 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years old as news, you're wasting your own time and everybody else's. Folks, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. And this little secret may only be, those of us in the broadcasting industry may be privy to this secret. So don't go tell everybody. But there's a lot of news out there that's verifiable, documented, new, fresh, happening now that you can report on. Enough for everybody. It's happening literally by the minute. There's plenty for everybody. So there's really no reason to go dig up all this old crap. Now, if you're not sure about it and you want to post it and see if anybody else has heard about it, I understand that. That's not a problem. But, don't post and expect everybody else in the world to do all your research for you either. Sorry to go off on a rant on you here, but geez, I'm just getting tired of this stuff. We're having a hard time keeping up with the stuff that, having a hard time keeping up with what's really going on. Most of those sites are satire. It says right at the bottom of most of these web pages that it's a satire site. They know it's satire when they put it up there. And there's certainly a possibility that there are some stories being posted as misinformation, just as propaganda to get things stirred up. I don't doubt that. but a good many of them are posted on a on an actual satire site. So, all right, let's move on here. To let me get back over here on my other page. I got lots of stuff. Colloidal silver is sure in the news a lot lately. Man, we covered this very thoroughly, a week ago? And it just keeps coming up. All kinds of stuff about silver keeps coming up. And I think people are starting, as a matter of fact, I've gone back to my old site, my old forum out there at the shootingbench.yuku.com. And I've refreshed that a little bit. I'm still, you know, I don't really go check it very often or anything. But I've refreshed this and updated the information a little bit and reposted it on there. And I'll put that for those of you that are new. I'll put this in the chat room for you. Right now, let me bring up a new chat room over here on this other window. And for those of you that are interested in going and checking that out, well, feel free. If you have any questions, most of you know how to get a hold of me, but you can email me at theshootingbench@live.com, and we'll help you out there. I also went and put it on my my blog page. I put a whole new static page up there on the blog at theshootingbench.info. I put all that silver stuff on there again. And people are finally they're waking up. They're seeing this. They're saying, "Hey, there must be something to this." Yeah, there is. I've been telling you for 10 or 12 years. There really is something to it, and it's starting to be prolific, as they say. There's stories all over the place out there, and so I think it's starting to wake some people up. Now I think we'll see some. Various issues because of this. As people start waking up and seeing it, I think you're going to see the powers that be try to demonize it again, worse than they did the last couple of times. And I can't get my chat room to get going here. There we go. We may hear some noise on it here in a minute. There you go. I'll stick that link up there for you, for those of you that want to check it out. And this may... I'll stop that from loading, and maybe we won't hear any problems with that. Aussie Rogue! Man, it's been a long time. Buddy, where you been? Long time no see. Yeah. Pumpkin Cat, you can store it in there for a little while, but most of your distilled water comes in clear... very biodegradable type plastic. The best thing to store it in is either bleach bottles, Clorox bottles, hydrogen peroxide bottles, or those heavy white orange juice jugs and stuff like that if you want to store it in plastic. You can store it in glass if you want. If it's what happens with the non-HDPE plastic or the lower grade HDPE plastic is that it kind of sucks the molecules out of the water, it seems like, and they stain real bad, and I think it lowers the quality of the silver, and they don't last very long. You know, bottles are cheap. You know, it's not like I'm asking you to store things. It's not like I'm asking you to store something in some golden cask somewhere or anything. It's a damn plastic bottle. They're everywhere. So it shouldn't be too hard to find one. And it's fine to store it in glass, but if you store it in glass, you need to keep it somewhere dark. Keep it up in a cabinet somewhere, and as I've said before, away from magnetic fields, away from fans, away from speakers, away from motors, and things like that. And Pumpkin cat, if you're going to store, see, there's not a whole lot of use in storing that stuff because it's so easy and cheap to make. The shelf life and everything really doesn't matter too awful much because you can, we make it by the gallon, and we put a gallon away and use the other one, and when the one runs out, we get the other one off the shelf and start using it and make another one and put it on the shelf. So we've always got, you know, somewhere between a half gallon and a gallon always in stock. And so the shelf life to me is really kind of irrelevant. I have stored it for many months in backpacks and stuff. I've taken and put it in peroxide bottles and stored it in go bags and things. And I don't rotate it. Well, I will, you know, but it's usually, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, maybe even a year before I get around to it. I've tasted it. I've used it. And I see no problem with doing that as long as it's made properly. And that's really the only time that I see storing or shelf life or what you store it in being too much of a problem. Let me catch up with some of the chat room deals here. Number one, the colloidal silver won't react to the bleach. Number two, you want to rinse it out before you put the silver in it anyway. The only bleach that's going to be left is a little bit of a, maybe a little bit of a smell, but I can't even tell that really. I've taken and put a couple of cups full of water out there and just shake the hell out of it, dump it out, and then put more water in it, rinse it out real well. And I really haven't noticed too much, but it's not going to react to anything anyway, so it's not a problem. You can keep it up in your cabinet somewhere in the kitchen or your bathroom or something like that. I keep a bottle in a hydrogen peroxide bottle on the vanity in the bathroom, so it's all I don't forget to take it. It's always right there handy. So. Now, that queso, you know, that's a good point. Already talking about there isn't enough silver to meet industrial applications. Well, you know, and I tell people, not because I sell it. I don't care where you get it. Get it wherever. If you find it cheaper or more plentiful or whatever, I don't care where you get it. But when these guys order these silver generators and they just order the generator and the one single strip of two strips of silver that comes with it, if this stuff happens like Queso is talking about on the chat room, it's going to behoove you to get, you know, 10 or 20 years worth of that silver put away. I've got a roll of that bezel put away, and I'll tell you, when I run out of everything else and can't get it, I'm not selling any of mine. That is for my family, my friends, my militia unit, my community, and I'm going to hang on to it. I mean, like gold, except it's silver. So you guys might think about that as you become more educated about this and decide to get into it and do it. Then right now, guys, it is so dumb for you not to stock up on silver. Silver is very, very low right now, and there's no reason not to stock up on it. And you can, matter of fact, there's a guy, he's not in the chat room, but he is listening. He sent me a text a while ago, and the chat isn't working for him for some reason. You know who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If he wants to tell you, he can get on there and tell you when he gets a chance. But he got into making some silver, made his first batch here last week, I think it was, having a little bit of a hard time convincing other family members to take it and stuff, but he's making it out of, he used silver bullion, these little bars. They're, from the looks of the pictures, they're an eighth or so, maybe 3/16 of an inch thick, inch or so, inch and a quarter, inch and a half wide, and a couple of inches long, and he's using those for his two pieces of silver. Will they work? Absolutely. Yes, they will. And I said, well, you might want to try something else because that's going to drain your batteries pretty fast. Well, he went ahead and did it with his bullion or his little silver bars there. And sure enough, it drained his bag. He got two batches out of it. Let's see. He said, let me find out. Let's see. Okay, one troy ounce bar. They're 1 ounce bars. There we go. That's what I was looking for. And let me see if I can tell you. He said, okay, I told him, looks like a good setup. Let me know how your batteries hold up. He said, I'm running for 30 minutes. Looks good. Cloudy look. Okay, that's good. Sounds about right. He got the finished product. It looks real good. I told him it was perfect. And let's see. Here it is. He says, what's your address? I need to get some silver bezel. He said, I made two batches with the bullion bars, and it drained the batteries pretty good already. So there's, and I'm not an electronic engineer, but I do know that the resistance of the larger bars and stuff is going to pull. If you hook two, let's put it this way, and you don't have to be too terribly smart with electronics. I mean, I'm not. But if you were to take two 9-volt batteries and hook them up to a 1-inch copper wire and run it from New York to California, you're not going to get a whole lot of voltage out of the other end. Matter of fact, I'm thinking nothing's going to make it that far, and the batteries are going to be dead. So the larger it is, less you can expect your batteries to last. I use a little silver ribbon, silver bezel, and making the same quality and quantity of colloidal silver that he was making, my batteries last 6 or 8 months. His lasted a day. So there's something for you to think about. And I don't blame him for trying it, though, because he was wanting to do it and wanting to get in on it. And batteries, nobody, you're talking about, you know, $6 for a couple of batteries or something. But the result is he got a quart of good quality colloidal silver out of it. So that's still mighty inexpensive when you compare to what it cost out on the street, you know, in the health food stores and stuff. So he didn't do a bad thing. He just learned that it's not going to, that the batteries are not going to last very well that way. Hang on. We got breaking news here. Okay. This individual that I'm talking about is listening. Sent me a text and said that an individual in his family was down with a hunter. Now, he's just learning about this. He's just starting this. He hasn't been taking it a week yet. He says, down with 103 degree fever. After her first dose, she laid around for 3 hours and then no more fever. 12 hours later, she was back up and no sign of what was bothering her. So there's a first-hand testimony that I just got sent right now. So, anyway, let's need to cruise down through here and see what's going on. I've let my chat room get away from me here. Now, actually, Doc, if you can taste the silver, they say, actually, hang on, he says, no more symptoms, been healthy now for 5 days. That individual now is taking the silver every day. We got a new convert, he says. Well, there you go. If you can taste the silver, no, it's not too strong. You can taste it. It depends on how much you taste. The silver, if it's like your, all of us when we were kids, and maybe you still do, I don't know, maybe your kids do. Don't you remember sucking on a dime or a quarter or something in your kid when there really was silver in them? And having that silver taste, kids love it. They love that silver taste. And if it's just a faint silver taste, it's just right. If you can't taste it at all, then it's going to be questionable about how much is in there. Now, we have several times made it in such a way. Well, usually it was Amy when she was making it, you know, when she was first learning. And couldn't really taste it, but we still got pretty good results out of it. So I'm not saying that you have to taste it to make it right. It's just that if you can't taste it, you don't know if there's anything in it or not. So it's okay if you taste it a little bit. If it's too heavy and too strong, quite naturally, you should either cut it with more distilled water or just dump it out and start over. It's cheap. It doesn't matter. Let's see. Yeah, the queso, you're right. The malt liquor, any of the, like the quart bottles, most of them, not like, I think there's a few clear ones out there, but you get a quart bottle of you know, Schlitz or Coors or Budweiser or something like that. Most of those come in brown bottles. It's okay to store them in them. You just want to make sure they have plastic screw-on lids and not metal. But and that works fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Let's see. The Canadian dollar is 99.9999999999% pure. If you have to use that, now that's unnecessarily pure for what you need. Not that it'll hurt a thing. It sure won't. But you can cut that down in, instead of even cutting them in half, you can cut them down into strips, you know, maybe a quarter inch wide. The only thing is with that is you only have an inch of that sticking in the water. It's been my experience here that the more surface area that you have in the water, the more consistent product you get. And the guy that I'm talking about here that texted me a couple of times, his worked fine. It looked good. Like I said, it drained the batteries fast and all that, but the stuff is working. He's already, you know, he's already got a new convert and proven that it works, and I'm happy that he did. You know, I'm always happy when I see my friends and listeners get on this stuff, because I love to hear the stories that they come back and say, wow, I should have done this 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah, you're right. You should have. But it's never too late. Whenever you do it, you do it. You get on there, and it will start making a difference right away. I guarantee you. Let's see here. Yeah, Aussie, they knew what satire was back then. Now it's you can use there are DC generators out there of the right voltage, that's true. And you might want to run one of them sometimes, but I would never be without the battery backup. We're talking about preparedness, poop hit the fan stuff here. And you have the DC transformer, and it does you absolutely no good if you don't have power. And you can probably get a transformer and get it right out of your out of a couple of car batteries and make it. I mean, there's 100 ways to make it work. Of course, I mean, you can those little bicycle generators that you pedal the bicycle and the light comes on. The faster you pedal, the brighter the light is. I'm sure you can make something like that work. There's 1,000 ways to do it. And it's just not a bad idea to keep the battery-operated ones around, as I do. I actually have two of them made, put away, never been used. And on those, I'll change the batteries out, put them in something, you know, once every two or three or four years, I'll put new batteries in there with it, having never been used, just so it has fresh batteries, so that if something happens, I've got a couple of spare generators put away, either for myself or my family or whatever. So just something to think about there. Looks like T-Dog's leaving us there. He's got to go to bed, get to work. I understand. It does require staying up a little bit late for the shooting bench. Now, speaking of that, we're going to be, when the time changes for you guys, it's not going to change for us. We're going to be back on Mountain Time, where we should be to start with, will be the same as New Mexico. You guys will not notice any difference. I will have to change the time that I start the show here, but it's going to be the same everywhere else. Nothing's going to change. It's still going to be 8 o'clock Pacific and 11 o'clock Eastern. It's just that I'll be starting at what will be considered 9 o'clock, or no, let's see. Yeah, I may be. I think I have to start at 7. 7 o'clock my time. Right, that's what it'll be. I'll have to move to 7 o'clock my time, which would be the same as Mountain Time, to keep everybody else on schedule. It's always confusing every time we change, every time Daylight Savings Time changes, because we don't. So it kind of makes a mess, but that's okay. We'll get through it. Usually the first day or two, we always have a little bit of a problem with that, but we always get through it. All right. Well, speaking of getting through it, we're going to... I've messed around here. I promised you that I was going to start doing a little bit of show and play a song every once in a while. So I've got some things I need to do and some things I need to get out of the truck here. So we're going to do that song and stuff here right now. And then we'll be back.
Exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me, one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow. And then he said, this boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Ooh, mama, he's a double XL.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Oh, glory, drink like heaven's mercy.
us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right. We're back. I'm sorry. It's, Aussie, it has, it darn sure has. You're absolutely right about that. It has been a very long time since you've been in here with it. And we're sure glad that you made it in here tonight. Okay, let me look and see what we need to catch up on here. All right, let's go and look and see what we've got. You know, we always, I really don't plan a lot of times to talk about colloidal silver, but it seems to be popping up in the news and on chat rooms and in emails and text messages and stuff to me and on my I get inquiries about the YouTube video that I've got on it and all of that stuff. So it seems that we, whether I intend to or not, it's been a pretty hot topic here for the last couple of weeks, and rightfully so. I'm getting... Hang on here just a minute. Okay. I've gotten with silver like I have with politics. I've become much less diplomatic than I used to be. I talk to people and say, "Oh yeah, well, you need to do this and all of that." And I'm to a point now where I just say, "Well, you know what? If you don't, you're just I just stop just short of calling them an idiot. I know that some of them just flat don't trust it and they don't know about it, and I understand that, and that is a result of becoming so dependent and trusting in TV shows and news and the government. And the government hasn't always lied to us about everything. That's not true, and I'll never believe it. But I do know that they have swayed a lot of things. They've outright lied to us about a lot of things. And sometimes they were telling us stuff they may or may not have known it was true. The big pharmaceutical companies, I think, swayed a lot of the information that we got about silver. Well, not about silver, but about antibiotics, changing what we thought about silver, what we heard about it. And Doc says, do I have a definitive answer to whether or not CS helps with Ebola? Doc, you know, being the honest and trustworthy individual that I am, I've never had Ebola, and I don't know anybody that has. I haven't had the opportunity to try it. But I'm going to tell you two things. One, I have seen this stuff work on things that they said could not be cured. They're past the point, and at least two of those included viruses. I feel with all my heart that it will do the trick. The second thing is the fact that they're turning it around and that they're not allowing it to come in where was that, Liberia or Sierra Leone, I think it was, and the fact that they turned that around three times. When you have an outbreak that's that bad, do you really think that the silver, whether you believe that it works or not, do you really think that it's going to be more dangerous than Ebola? Damn, folks. Try it. If it, what the hell is it going to do? Okay, it turns you blue and you're alive. And you don't have, you don't blow up with swelled up pus pockets and blood pockets all over your face and arms and everything. You're a little bit, now you're not going to turn blue to start with. But that seems to be one of the biggest concerns people have. But I wouldn't care if they told me that you could stir up a dog turd and inject it and it would cure Ebola and you already had it. I'm giving it a try. To think that silver in some form, in some way, is going to be more dangerous than having Ebola. And I can see, well, I've got the flu. I get the flu every year. I'm not willing to risk that turning blue and getting heavy metal poisoning. Shut up. But when you have advanced, terminal, what they consider terminal cancer, or Ebola, or I've cured parvo in dogs. I told you that three times. Two of them were extremely advanced. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You're going to die anyway. Why not try it? Yeah, no, Doc. I understand. I'm not hollering at you. I'm just hollering at all these damn stupid damn people out there that talk about this stuff and don't know anything about it. No, I understand what you're saying. And I honestly can't. Yeah, I don't know anybody that's had it. I don't have any reports. I can't say that. I saw the same reports that y'all did. I mean, they said that it was working and that they had a bunch shipped in. Now, are those people that are just trying to sell colloidal silver? I don't know. I wasn't there. That's the only thing I have to go by. They're saying it works, and I damn sure believe it. I damn sure believe it. Ask the guy that's on the other end of my text messages here tonight. He had a little problem convincing the other person that he got started on this. To a point where I was trying to convince him, you know what, just if this other person's not going to do it, then I would suggest, under the circumstances, that you make sure that this individual does it, whether they like it or not. Put it in their milk, coffee, orange juice, a glass of water that you bring them. I don't care how you do it, just get it down them. And it appears from this email, this text message, now maybe he'll text me in a minute and tell me if this is true, but it appears that this individual has seen the light, was willing to try it because they were sick, and because they had a fever and they were down and out, down for the count. And it worked. And now we have a new convert. That's what I get from the text message. And maybe he'll text me back here in a minute and let me know. He is listening. He just can't come into the chat room right now. So, somebody said no sound. Maybe it's just C7 that has no sound. Hopefully everybody else. Okay, he just texted me back and said spot on. That's exactly what happened. So my interpretation of this text message is exactly the case. So, and I'm glad to hear that, because it always, on the one hand, it irks me because people won't try it. When I sit there and say, you know, my kids have been on, of course, I can say anything on the internet too. You don't have to believe me. If you don't know me personally, there's nothing to say that I would dislike anybody else on the internet. But my kids have been taking this stuff for 15 years. I've been taking it for 16, 17 years. My daughter that's sitting on the other end of the table from me right now, she got her first dose when we brought her from the hospital, set her down in a chair from the hospital when she was born. And we got her out of the hospital, and set her down in her little thingamabob seat, and walked right straight in there and got her some silver that day. She hadn't been home 15 minutes before she took her first dose of silver. She's been taking it for 15. She's going to be 15 years old this month, and I told her that is prohibited, that she's only going to be 12 this month. I'm not allowing her to be 15. I don't want that. But nevertheless, she's been taking it almost daily for 15 years, starting literally at birth. So I get irked when people don't want to try it, when grown-ups say, well, I don't want to. Just stop, would you? Just stop. Just do it. And the other thing is, what was I going to say? The one thing is the people that won't try it, and the other one is the people that say, well, yeah, I've been meaning to. I was gonna. Now that tells me that you're either so damn lazy, it's unbelievable, or that you really are scared of it and don't want to tell me. One or the other. It's cheap. It's easy. It requires almost none of your time to make. You don't have to stand there and watch it. You can go and get on Facebook and go to Starbucks and do whatever for the 25 minutes that it's making, and come back and take it out. It requires almost no effort and time on your part, and damn little expense. For the benefits that you get out of it, it is absolutely unfathomable to me why every person that I know is not on it. C7, I do the same thing. When I go anywhere, I don't know, I'm not even going to get in. I've told you all this many times, it's not even worth getting into again. But anyway, I take it wherever I go, whoever I'm with, makes no difference. So let's get off of that. I know I'm boring you to death out of it. there's a guy here that is a concealed carry holder, wants to protect his children, his daughters, as much as he can. And for him, like me, means carrying a gun every minute of your life. By the way, I've just got back from the belly of the beast in the People's Republic. And yes, the whole time I was there, I take that risk, that risk versus reward thing. I carried every moment while I was there. It's a little unnerving, because you know if anything happens, it's gonna be Katie bar the door. But I'm out of there now, and I'm glad, and I wish Amy was, but she has no choice right now. She's in a bad situation, so she'll be back here in a week or so. But anyway, this story says that the guy even carries his gun when he drops his daughters off at school, if you can imagine, being very careful, of course, not to violate any laws. Now, the story says, just like I've told her, before you have a baby over the 1,000-foot federal gun-free zone around schools, for people that have a carry permit, this is one more reason. If you're looking to try to justify getting a carry permit, this is one more reason for you to get one. Because if you have a permit, you're exempt from the federal gun-free zone around schools. But there was a gal, it's not good enough for her. She put up a sign in the front yard across the street from the school, has a big sign, has his picture on it, says, "This man carries a loaded gun around your children every day. Since we don't have a way to stop him, we felt it was important to notify the neighborhood and the parents that there is an armed man in their presence." Oh, good grief. You've got to be kidding me. Now, this is a case for, if you're going to carry concealed, there's just a little quick lesson here on... the terminology and definitions and whatnot. Concealed, in the purest form of the word, means that you can't see it. Okay? It's hidden. It is concealed from view. Okay? That's what that means. And that's why you get permits and stuff and get permission in some places and all that. That's why you have to. So this guy was a little careless. And the woman said, she said the first couple of days of school he had it very visible. We saw it and were quite concerned. Oh, please. She called the police the day the picture was taken. And they said that he had a legal right to carry off school property. And he had also, the man had also contacted the cops there, or the authorities concerning this sign. And they took the sign down, but it was eventually determined that the woman's breaking no law either. He has a Second Amendment right to carry, and she's got a First Amendment right to put the sign up. Okay. And I agree with that. There's, unless there's a way that they can prove there's some kind of harassment or some violation of his rights, she's got every right to put the sign up there. So, this woman is, I hate to say this. let's say theoretically, hypothetically. Let's say hypothetically. I'm not going to say it like who was it? One of the TV newscasters, was it Chris Matthews or somebody, said that they need they want to see another high profile death by shooting to help advance their anti-gun agenda. Well, I can say this without seeming too crude. I would like to see a couple of thugs grab a woman like this and go through without injuring her, or out without injuring her very bad, and have her screaming for help. Oh, please, please, oh, please come save me. Help, help. And have Matthew come running up here with his concealed weapon and blast the hell out of these two guys just as they are ripping her blouse off and getting ready to do terrible things to her, and have him walk up and kill both of them dead. Shoot them in the face and kill them dead. Drop them in their tracks in front of everybody and kill them dead.
That's violent.
I know it's violent. That's okay. Violence does solve some things. I know it's violent. That's all right.
Violence solves a lot of things.
My soon-to-be thinking she's going to be 15-year-old just said, violence solves a lot of things. And said, it does. It solves when someone is about to beat you, rape you, steal from you, hurt you, take your kids, burn your house down. Violence keeps that from happening. Violence is a good thing used judiciously in the proper manner against the right, the proper recipients of this said violence. And I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. Unbelievable. Let me catch up here with my... Queso, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, I agree. Agree 100%. Okay. Well, I got to go take some blood pressure medicine now, so I'll be back. Let's see. What am I going to play here? I'm going to play something how about this? We haven't heard that for at least a week. So.
I just hate stupid people.
up Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time, I answered to what I'd done. Hooks today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Well, I guess for you folks in California, you're going to have to learn to deal with used guns, used Smith & Wessons, and used Rugers. And there's at least three companies pulling out of California. ProMag, they don't make the best magazines in the world, but depends on what gun they're for. They've got some that work really well, some not so much. But, be that as it may, it's not the issue. They are pulling out of California. ProMag's leaving, and I believe, I'll have to check again, but I believe they're coming to Arizona. And I will buy ProMag magazines because they're standing up for, I may not use them for self-defense, maybe just for training or whatever, but I will use them. Smith & Wesson now has become the second gun manufacturer to pull out. Ruger said they're not gonna make any. They're not pulling out, meaning that they have a factory there that they're closing down. They are not going to sell new Smith & Wesson firearms in California. Whatever's there now, well, I'm not sure exactly what date they're going to start here, but Smith & Wesson's doing exactly what Ruger did. They said because of their micro-stamping laws. Micro-stamping is a technology that doesn't even exist yet. I mean, it's they haven't even figured out how they're going to do all this. But they're saying that it has to be done. So the semi-automatic pistols there, if they're saying that not going to sell any new guns there, so we'll see how that works out. And that's not a brand new story. I just want to see how how all this plays out here over the next what is it? I guess by the end of this year, I think. I believe it's January 1st of 2015. I think when all this goes into effect, I'll have to do a little checking on that and see. But ProMag, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, that's some that's pulled out so far, and there promises to be more if this thing goes through like it looks like it's going to. So, interesting stuff. That's glad to see that. The mountain shooter, yeah, that's right. They ain't going to take it no more. That's right. Now, here is... What was it here about... It's a few months ago. There was something to do with another animal. And I can't remember what the heck it was. But anyway, they've got another... There's another animal rights group here that's trying to achieve legally seeking personhood for monkeys. Not just any monkey, chimpanzees. They're trying to... Now, this is a true story. For real. They're trying to get... This came from Alan West. They said that they've got a monkey, a chimpanzee named Tommy, that if this goes through, if this case is it's being heard, I guess now, this could redefine personhood in America. Now, I have high hopes that this is going to be just too stupid for the courts to consider seriously. But what they're doing here, according to the story, it says that the left went into a apoplectic state of hysteria when the Christian right began to promote the idea of personhood for unborn human children with a heart rate that starts at 18 days. But human fetuses don't really count, so that's not an issue here. But monkeys, that's a different story. And apparently these guys have been watching some reruns for Planet of the Apes or something. And this is in several large newspapers and stuff. There's a quote here. It said, an animal rights group will argue a claim of wrongful imprisonment for Tommy, a chimpanzee held in a trailer park shed in New York. Chimpanzees could climb closer to the status of legal persons on Wednesday. Let's see, Wednesday, this was October 17th. Yeah, it's this coming Wednesday. Let's see, where's that? On Wednesday, should an animal rights group convince a New York court that an ape held in a trailer park shed may be wrongfully imprisoned? Tommy's a 26-year-old privately owned chimp in Gloversville, New York, is the plaintiff in a suit brought about on his behalf by Stephen Wise and the non-human rights group. I have a little bit of a problem here with this personhood thing if they can't even testify or represent themselves or anything else. But of course, I guess fetuses can't either. This is a group of environmental lawyers that seek to break through that legal wall erected between humans and non-human animals. I don't know where they get these people. I don't know what. I have no idea. But this guy apparently has the time and the money to try to see this through. And you remember we talked about this here on the show, and there's a big TV show about it and everything. Remember that big chimpanzee that attacked that woman here a while back? Ripped her face off and damn near killed her. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then I guess that chimpanzee needs to go on trial, and if found guilty, they need to put him in the electric chair or whatever. I don't know. It seemed, maybe they did euthanize that chimp. I don't remember. But I guess they could have charged him with assault and battery or something. Here comes Miss Hiccup coming in here. Anyway, that's what's going on with the far loony left here. Unbelievable. This guy says, he argues that the court should recognize Tommy as a limited legal person entitled to the bodily liberty that habeas corpus protects. presented as evidence to support his claim are affidavits from experts in cognitive science, psychological, and behavioral biology, as well as Wise's own rich knowledge of philosophical arguments and studies on chimpanzees in the past 15 years. Particularly, studies have convincingly shown that chimpanzees possess self-awareness, empathy, elements of culture, complex memory, and recognition of death. And Wise argues, the man that's doing all this, argues that the long-perceived barrier between certain animals and humans is both thin and porous, like your brain. It says studies have shown these chimpanzees possess self-awareness. All right. Can we think of an instance where other animals possess self-awareness? I think dogs possess self-awareness. Look at some of the videos and stuff out there. I think dogs have a certain degree of self-awareness. Empathy, yeah, we see empathy and sympathy in a great number of animals when there's baby anything. Babies of a different species, baby humans, babies, period, or old people involved. Yeah, we see that in lots of animals. Elements of culture. Yeah, I think we see that in some besides chimpanzees. We see elements of culture in colonies of lots of animals. We see cultural things in prairie dogs. They have certain things that they do that I think is a culture that they possess that other animals don't. The little what's that stupid little animal in Jungle Book? Not a mongoose, but meerkat. The meerkat colonies out there definitely have a culture of their own. There's no question about that. What was the next one here? Culture, complex memory. What do they mean by complex memory? What does that mean exactly? Because I can tell you there's 100, maybe 500 videos out there of animals that several different kinds, primarily dogs, where the owner has been gone or they've taught them something, they remembered something, and they have a now what my problem is here is I'm not smart enough to know what complex memory is as opposed to just to remembering stuff for a long time. When I was gone to Europe, I was gone for, from the time that I was, I was gone about 2 years and, probably 2 years and probably 25, 26 months, 27 months, something like that. And when I came back, I got out of the truck, and as soon as my dog heard my voice, he bailed over that fence, and he was all over me. Is that complex memory, or what's the difference? Let me go check the chat room, see if we have any great scientists here that know what complex memory is. Nope. So far, no complex memory here. Queso, you're right. That's exactly my point. It is cool, but it doesn't make meerkats human. Doesn't make prairie dogs human, and doesn't make chimpanzees human. They make because they kind of halfway walk on two legs, and you can teach them how to drink out of a cup. That don't make them human. Yeah, you can teach a liberal how to drink out of a cup. Ain't that big a deal? Let's see. Complex memory and recognition of death. Most animals, I don't know about all animals, any animal can recognize death. They have a recognition of death. And I'll give you a quick for instance. Well, actually, you guys have probably seen it a lot. I've seen it, you know, 1,000 times where an animal is being killed, either you're going to butcher it or something like that. Animals, dogs recognize death. Now, I'll tell you why. This last weekend, there is a dog there that belonged to Amy's mother. If you think that dog didn't know that something was very wrong there, you're crazier than hell. That dog knew just exactly what was happening. And you could tell by the way she acted and everything. And that's nothing unique about that dog. It happens real often. You've seen the YouTube video of the dog that went and laid down on the gravestone and was literally on the grave marker thing and was literally crying. The dog's owner was in that grave. I think dogs understand. Now, you know, I killed a doe one time from a tree stand in Georgia. And the one that was with her turned and run off, and then she come back, and the other one was down and was graveyard dead. But the other one came back, and now you can argue that it was the smell of the blood, and it could have been. But whichever the case was, now how many times has a deer smelled blood before and knew that it represented something bad? I think that they realized that the animal just is gone. There's no life left in it. So I don't know that the chimpanzee is all that much more complex. They are in their complex memory. I don't know about the memory part of it, but as far as their learning abilities and stuff, their learning abilities do exceed lots of animals. I won't argue that. But that doesn't make them human. Like I said, hell, you can teach a liberal how to drink out of a cup. So it's not that. I don't know that it makes them human. Oh, well. I know. You can't take a joke. Well, rain on you anyway. Okay. Comprehensive memory is a process of discerning good from bad, or right from wrong. Well, I don't know if comprehensive memory and complex memory are the same thing, but let's assume that C7 is right there. Comprehensive memory means a process of discerning good from bad. How many times have you come in and found or a family member or family, you know, somebody else's house or whatever, come in and find a glass broken, something that the dogs have gotten into while you were gone, and you point at it, and that dog slinks off and goes and gets behind the couch. That dog knows. You can always tell which one done it. It's like kids. If that was an indicator of being human, then by damn, we need to fight for dogs' human rights too. Because if that is an indicator right there, then I can assure you that dogs got it. I don't know if liberals have it or not, but dogs certainly do. Yeah, that's right. Queso knows exactly what I'm talking about. She gets that look and just kind of puts her head down, gets her tail down between her legs, and they go and hide. They know they've screwed up. So, anyway. All right, well, that was kind of a stupid discussion, but anyway, I thought we'd throw that in there. Okay, let's do another one here. I might shut off a little early tonight. I've still got a lot of stuff to put away from the trip, and I have got a ton of things to do to get ready for that class this weekend. I've got to get some, believe it or not, I've got to get a bunch of colloidal silver generators made. I've got a few, but I've got a bunch of batteries coming and everything, because I know we'll go through quite a few of them this weekend. And I've got some DE bagged up, and I've got what else? My books, beeswax candles, all this kind of stuff that we talk about. So, got a lot of work to do. Okay, Jack in the Box. No, not the little toy. The restaurant. This was just a few days old here. There was their policy would not have stopped this. Remember Jack in the Box restaurant, along with Sonic and Target and whoever, all the whole bunch of other Starbucks and everybody else. have asked that you not bring guns in. They haven't banned them. They said, we respect your rights, but we ask you to be, yeah, well, you can go pee up a rope, too. But Jack in the Box is one of them. And according to, now this was in Phoenix, too. Drive-through employee at a one of the 24-hour Jack in the Boxes there was shot. Now, this guy's just walked up to the drive-through window and started blazing away. Walked up to it. They didn't drive him a car. They walked up to the drive-through window and started blazing away through the open window and hit this kid that was working in there. Now, let's this in itself isn't that huge of a story. There's the employee there is 20-some years old. Managed to call 911. The three guys ran away. Now, here was after a brief standoff with a police officer at a nearby home, a suspect who fired the shot killed himself. Wow. He doesn't even know if he hit anybody. Doesn't know that he killed anybody. He decided he'd kill himself before he'd find out. Big sissy. But, you know, the jack-in-the-box policy probably didn't cause this. The people that did this probably had no idea that the policy even existed. But it does prove a point, and that is the fact that you can have all the policies in the world. You're not going to stop bad guys from shooting good people. Like the guy said, you stop bad guys with a gun with a good guy with a gun. That's how it works. But probably more importantly right now, you know, we get these stories and they're interesting and they're, you know, kind of amusing, you know, for our kind of proving our point a little bit. But what I see here right now, all right, C7, I just did that on Twitter here. I posted a deal from my Facebook page just a couple of days ago. I can do it again, though, if you want to. What was I going to say? Oh, the other thing that I see happening here is as society degrades even more, we have more and more people are becoming more brazen, more bold, more ruthless, more savage, more with no values, no morals, shooting people just, not just shooting, I mean, killing, raping, injuring, damaging property, whatever, just to be doing it. I watched a tape here today, and these were ISIS, terrorists. I don't know that it was ISIS or not. I guess it was, too, because when they killed these people initially, they had these the same flag out there in front of them. So they shot them in the back of the head at a parking lot at a gas station and threw them in the back of a pickup and went up to this cliff, kind of a cliff. It was real steep. And what they did, they took them and just as if you were throwing, dead dog over the edge, they grabbed the hands and the feet and swung them, you know, 1, 2, 3, and threw them off this thing. And they rolled down this hill probably 200 or 300 feet. It's hard to tell from a video, but 200 or 300 feet, maybe more. And right down to the edge of this thing. And when they did this, there was another one already down there. And these people went down a really, really steep hill. It wasn't vertical, but it was real steep. And they rolled down this this deal, and they got right to the edge. And when they get to the edge of this thing, they drop off into another canyon. And they were bowling with these bodies. They had one down at the edge, and they threw another one there, and it knocked the next body off of the edge. And they just thought that was funny as hell. And I couldn't understand what they were saying, but they just cracked up when they hit the other body and it went over the edge. They threw another one down and it went down and piled up against another one and piled up there. And then they threw the fourth one down, and it hit that pile of bodies and knocked one or two of them into the canyon there. And they just got a tremendous amount of amusement out of that. Aussie, I see you're having problems, so good night to you. I'm glad you could make it in tonight. Hope to see you again soon. So anyway, to get back to my point is, as things deteriorate here, I think that there's going to be no place out there where we're going to have any degree of safety. I think that once the balloon goes up, we're going to have to create our own little communities and areas where we have just like the deal in in Bolivia or wherever the hell it was that we talked about that guy, the survivalist there for so long, and I think he explained it very well what we're facing there. All right, let me see here. I need to get you guys to go to my website and blog and all that stuff. For you guys that are asking about the mailing info for the generator and stuff, it's both on my blog, the new website that I've done, on the other website that I posted at the beginning of the show. But I will post it for you again right here, right now, of where to send that. Let me go find, I thought I had a place here where I could cut and paste it. Maybe not. Yeah, there it is. All right. Let me just put this in here. And you'll be all taken care of there. There we go. And just put the shooting bench or my name, either one above that, it doesn't matter. Or you can put the shooting bench care of Cope Reynolds or vice versa. Either way, it'll make any difference. They know who I am up there. They'll get to me no matter how you do it. If you just put the right address and zip code on it, we'll get it. So let me know, and I'll get that stuff off to you. All right, well, instead of taking a break and then ending the show shortly after that, I've got one more story. I've got several more, actually. But I've got one more here I want to run and grab real quick for you. And then we'll probably knock off here just a little bit early. Got several. That one, I don't want to start on that one yet. I'm going to talk about that one tomorrow night. Here's one here. This is one we talk about constitutional rights and jackbooted thugs and all this kind of stuff. Well, here we go. Let me get this up here for you real quick. Here is a woman that was, now I don't know if there's some past history with this woman or what was going on here. But this is a brand new story, 3 days old. This woman in Tennessee was jailed, thrown in jail for not cleaning up her yard. Had a messy yard. That's like killing somebody's cows because they owe you money. And the city is defending this decision to do that. She said, "I'm a mom. I don't want to leave my kids. I want to be there with them every night. And I've been there for 25 years, and last night I wasn't, and that really bothers me." She spent 6 hours Tuesday night in the jail after being cited for failure to maintain property. She said, "I'm embarrassed. The place I pay taxes for is taking time to incarcerate me when there are real criminals in this town." And bingo. Anyway, she says her family struggles to have her says family struggles have kept her away from the property. Her family owns on West Broadway in this city, and they bought the home in 2000 and have plans to renovate, but currently live in an apartment. She feels the location makes them a target for code enforcement. Anyway, the rest of the story is not relevant. It's just that this woman is being thrown in jail here for not keeping her yard. And then you remember the SWAT team that went and held this family at gunpoint for 10 hours while they destroyed not only the weeds, but some of the actual crops that they were trying to grow, some food crops, food plants that they were doing. So, I don't know. I just don't know, but I'm sure getting sick of it. Let me check here. I got our colloidal silver guy here. Okay, that's the one he said was spot on. So we got that one already. Hang on just a second. Amy sent me a letter here. Okay. All right. And I haven't mentioned this. I do have, some of you may not have been in the chat room here for the last few times when I've mentioned this. I do have a new website up. It's not very fancy, but it's primarily for the shooting bench. It's for the radio show, for the podcast, for the products that I promote, the things that I do. It's not necessarily a political site. I do that in other things on my blog and on the radio show and stuff. But this site is the shootingbench.us. I've got a little... The store is actually up and running right now. It's functional. For you guys, if you you want to order from there, feel free. If you don't, you can call me. That's okay. But I've got the silver strips. I've got the generators. I've got... I don't know, some DVDs and CDs and books and stuff on there. It's not ever going to be a big online store. I don't want it to be. I just want the few things that that we try to push real hard for you guys. So, but it's on there, and all the information that you need is on there. TheShootingBench.us is the website. TheShootingBench.info is the blog. I put stuff on there ever so often. I'm not real active with it, but every time something ticks me off real bad or gets my attention in some manner, then I'll stick it on that blog. And then there is, let's see, the podcast is tsb.podbean.com. That's where you can go and either subscribe or listen or download any of the podcasts, or any of the ones we have loaded anyway. I'm a little behind, but I'm going to get some more up there right away. Actually, I put a bunch of them up 2 weeks ago, so they're not that far behind now. And what else? You can go to the Shooting Bench on iTunes and subscribe to it there. Hang on just a second here. I'm going to throw something in here real quick and visit with Amy just a second, and I'll be right back. Come on.
Have you ever been awakened by the crowing of a rooster while the night's dew is still heavy on the ground? Silence, ringing lights, the wind is all around. Well, it's time to rise and shine and start another hard work day and get the cows in and start the milking chores. It's nice to think about it, maybe even visit, but I wonder could I live there anymore.
talking about the smell of cornbread. Cooking on a wood stove seems to bring a picture to my mind of a little three-room house with Mama in the kitchen. But she can't stop to talk, ain't got the time. She's a-fixin' Daddy's supper. He's a-workin' overtime, trying to pay our bill at the grocery store. It's nice to think about it, maybe even visit, but I wonder could I live there anymore. As I think about my childhood and of my old hometown, I don't really miss them like before.
Okay, played a little song there. I had to send Amy a couple of texts there. I miss her already. I've just been home, you know, a couple hours. Been on the road. The truck that I rented to go out there today, I didn't want to put any more miles on my truck, so I rented one. It's a Dodge 1500 with a 5.7 Hemi in it. Folks, I want to tell you a secret about this truck. This truck would will flat pick them up and put them down. Now it get 24 miles to gallon, and if I need to, for whatever reason, to go 100 miles an hour, it'll get it right now. That thing will fly. Good gas mileage, smooth. What a great truck this was. I really, really fell in love with it. So my daughter, she thinks it's neat. Comfortable, just an outstanding vehicle. Let's see here. All right. Well, I think that is... what do you mean, why am I on Amy's time slot? I'm not on Amy's time slot. I'm on my time slot. Show's almost over. I'm always here this time of day, or at least for the last several years. Not sure where you've been there, C7. You're going to have to get a lay off the truck driving there a little bit, and then we'll get you a different job. It's gotten your time messed up there. Oh, well. Okay. Well, I'm going to sign off here a few minutes early. I think what I'll do is I'm going to go try to catch up on some of my podcasts a little bit, get a few more of them uploaded there. For those of you that are traveling and whatnot, I tell you, we've got quite a number of people. Every once in a while I do something different, you know, I'll put a different post, you know, it winds up on Twitter or on Google Plus or whatever the hell you call it. And I'll reach some people that have been out for a while or something. I find out that I'm once again very humbled by the number of people that even though I haven't seen them on the chat and I thought they've been gone for a while, the number of people that are still listening, people that have been that we dealt with even as far back as AM radio days back in New Mexico. And it just tickles me that there's still some. I don't care, you know. Every once in a while, I start thinking about other things that I could be doing during this time slot. And then I have these people that have been so faithful for so long, and it gives me renewed reason, I guess, to keep doing this. So. I appreciate all of you that listen, no matter how often you get to come in. But Well, I just appreciate it, and I'm glad it's working out the way it is. So, just a couple more weeks here, 10 days or so, and we'll be, time's going to be changing, and that's going to create a little bit of a problem for me, but not for you. So everything should be normal for you guys. All right, all that being said, I think what I'm going to do is just kind of ease out of here and see if I can get out without anybody catching me, and we'll see y'all tomorrow night. Bye-bye. Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.